Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webber at StuWeb.com, and it is Saturday, March the 18th, 2023. And I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on and Professor Joel. And with that said, I'm just going to let you take it, Jim, and tell us what the latest is.
Well, Stu, the latest is simply absurd because it appears that Donald Trump is going to be arrested on Tuesday. I mean, it's a completely contrived case. It goes all the way to back to the Stormy Daniels nonsense, so that we have a Soros-funded New York City DA by the name of Alvin Bragg, who seems to be a very dull-witted black guy, meets with New York City law enforcement to discuss the logistics for arresting Trump on junk Stormy Daniels charges. Here's a story about it. From New York City DA, Alvin Bragg received $1 million from Soros in his election for New York City DA as a result. New York City saw a rise in crime from 2021 to 2022. The overall index increased in September 2022 by 15.2% compared to September 2021, but crime can wait. Bragg has bigger fish to fry. This corrupt, Soros-funded DA is going after President Trump, and he's using Stormy Daniels as his means to get the former president. Almost a year ago to the month, the Ninth Circuit Court issued a final ruling in the case brought against Trump by disgraced attorney Michael Avenatti and Stormy, where Daniels resorted to pay Trump $300,000 in legal fees. But suddenly Bragg has somehow rinsed off the case. He's going after Trump again, using the washed-up stripper Fox reported Friday. Final preparations are being made to arrest Trump next week. The persecution of Donald Trump never ends. They're going to have him fingerprinted and processed. There's so many absurdities to this case, including this is a civil matter. Why is he being arrested? Do you simply process it through the normal channels? There's no mugshot. There's no fingerprinting. I mean, I was sued, and, you know. This is just completely ridiculous, and it's one more absurd effort to smear Trump because the Democrats are so scared shitless that he could get president again and actually drain the swamp, get rid of their gravy train. And we now know, by the way, out of the January 6th revelations that have been coming from Tucker and other sources, the whole thing was a setup, and it was deliberately designed to interfere with the discussion of issues about the authenticity of the vote, so that they could abbreviate the session and then come back an emergency session where Pelosi was under in command, and there was no opportunity to return to the question of whether or not there was illegitimate votes involved, which meant there was no legal standing for a subsequent Supreme Court taking up the matter. Mike Pence and Mitch McConnell were just as profoundly involved as Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. This was a coup d'etat before our very eyes, very cleverly planned and cleverly executed. Then the January 6th Commission and all this nonsense going after Trump and Trump supporters are massive diversions from the facts of the matter. Trump has released a statement about this, by the way, on his social truth account. Our nation is now third world and dying. The American dream is dead. The radical left Antichrist have stolen our presidential election, and with it the heart of our country. American patriots are being arrested and held in captivity like animals, while criminals and leftist thugs are allowed to roam the streets, killing and burning with no retribution. Millions are flooding through our open borders, many from prisons and mental institutions. Crime and inflation are destroying our very way of life. Now, illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan District Attorney's Office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicated that with no crime being able to be proven based on an old and fully debunked by numerous other prosecutors' fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former President of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest. Take our nation back.
I say protest too. You know, Jim, the way it's going, they're trying to take out anybody and everybody now that's speaking out. In some way, shape, and or form, this, I don't know what to call it anymore. this government, it's called the U.S. government, is turned into a bunch of thugs. And that's all they are. And they have no conscience. I mean, I wonder where they pick these brains or how they analyze to determine whether they should carry a badge or have power and authority to arrest people and do the other stuff. I mean, we got a lot of illegal activity going on against a lot of people that are speaking out. Now, Joe, you want to kick in on this?
I think to let Jim continue on with this, because what he's presenting, the facts concerning this is, as he said, this is a coup d'etat. And it's for the high-tech dictatorship that's coming down the road.
And let's go back to where all this started on Trump. You still there, Jim?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to the reality of it, because a good friend of mine, 007 Otis Johnson, got killed over it and stonard to death, because I talked to him on his deathbed, and he was working for General Flynn. And he says, Stu, don't worry about Mueller. He says, if he doesn't do his job and arrest Hillary over the fake dossier, he says, I will personally put the cuffs on him. And then 2 weeks later, after Otis was murdered, he was murdered. And about 2 weeks after that, General Flynn had to retire his National Security Agency head chief, presidential appointed, the whole bit. He had to retire. And that's when they had him under that false indictment that the attorney got him off of. I forgot her name. She later got him off. But they knew about it. And Trump knew about it. It was a fake dossier that Hillary Clinton got from Jeb Bush, that Jeb Bush passed to John McCain, and John McCain shoved it over to the Justice Department that started all the bullshit. I know the facts behind that case. But go ahead, Jim.
Well, I mean, that's a really, really major. This could be the final straw, in my opinion. I mean, Americans, we can't allow this guy and arrested. What the fuck do they think they're doing? This is totally outrageous. And I think it is going to make Trump stronger, but it may also lead to civil war. I mean, this is just insane that they're doing this.
Well, if they do that to him right out in the open, they succeed, in my opinion, at what they want to do. They've accomplished their crisis creation, crisis solution for crisis control. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to shut down anybody who speaks out against them. And Trump isn't the only one. I'm taking a lot of heat. I know you have. I know that probably Stonard, the heart attack. And I know that Joe's been being hit. A lot of people have. And a lot of people out here that are speaking out are being hit. And there's very few that are left in what are known as mainstream media. Now, Carlson brought out some good stuff, but he retreated at the same time on some other stuff that I have on my site underneath that. And
tell me where you think Tucker fell short, Stu. I'm very interested in that, because I've been a strong supporter of Tucker. But
yeah, well, I think where he fell short is he got the heat from Rupert Murdoch, that owns or controls Fox News, and Fox was all proffered up from drug money from Silverado to begin with. That was Bush and Millman and all of them that control Rupert Murdoch. But Rupert recently pulled a number on Trump in federal court, and saying that, you know, Fox News didn't liable or took the liability hit, like Alex Jones took a liability hit to get rid of your case before the Supreme Court. I know that was real. I watched him play the game and bankrupt and do his whole deal. That's what Fox News or Rupert Murdoch is trying to do to Trump in court right now, because saying that they were totally supportive of Trump, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that wasn't the case, and that case shouldn't even be in there, but they did that to throw the back door into Trump, is what they did. And they've, in my opinion, what happened is Tucker didn't play all the tapes showing the guy dressed up in some kind of cartoon-looking thing, running around there, being escorted by two of the guards, Capitol Guards, through the building. Now, that video is up on my site. underneath the one you're speaking of, with Tucker, or above it. It was one of my last posts that I put up there. But Tucker, I think, got heat from Rupert Murdoch not to play the rest of that tape, which shows that guy, I forgot what he was supposed to be dressed up as, but he had a hat on and looked like he was...
Okay. We all know the QAnon shaman, as he's called. I mean, and he's been even put in solitary confinement. I mean, the abuse here of the... Trump was alluding to that. But if you want to see a further politicalization of the law, we got Russia just waxing Ukraine.
Real quick, Jim, if I may... If I may, real quick, there's one other thing. Was that on my site, there's a another talk show host had polled where Trump had actually made phone calls telling everybody to go home, and he actually came on the TV for a short period of time, like a couple minutes, telling them to go home. That is also on my website. I forgot what it was labeled. Sorry, I'm not hooked up to the internet.
His last two tweets were telling everyone to be peaceful and obey law enforcement for the party of law and order. This is when he was taken off of Twitter, because there was evidence right there that contradicted the January 6th narrative. But what's going on is we're witnessing the politicalization, the weaponization of the law here, and this is so blatant. When Trump talks about us being reduced to a third world country, he's 100% correct. Now, meanwhile, in Europe, Russian forces are mopping up Bakhmut. This is proving to be the decisive battle of the war. The Ukrainians have poured everything they got into Bakhmut. They've had to recruit elderly men and little kids who have a life expectancy of about 4 hours. And because Russia is mopping up, they now are using The Hague, the International Criminal Court, to bring an arrest warrant against Vladimir Putin, which is just about as absurd. This is a parallel. You got Trump, the great nationalist in America, and you got Putin, the great nationalist in Eurasia, and they're both being demonized by the weaponized legal system under the control of the Rothschilds. Have no doubt about it. Get this. Russian President Vladimir Putin has been formally accused by the International Criminal Court of war crimes and faces an arrest warrant which the Kremlin considers illegitimate. Let me add, of course, completely properly. ICC President Prayer Homensky said in a video an arrest warrant had been issued for alleged war crimes of deportation of children from Ukrainian-occupied territories into the Russian Federation. In other words, he's basically saving their lives because they were running child trafficking and child organ harvesting and child sex sacrifice there in Ukraine. International law prohibits occupying powers from transferring civilians from occupied areas to other territories, but that's ridiculous under these circumstances. Homensky said the contents would be kept secret to protect the identities of the allegedly abducted children. Nevertheless, the judges of the chamber dealing with this case decided to make the existence of the warrant public in the interest of justice and prevent the commission of further crime. Well, who's committing all the crimes? It's Zelensky and the Ukrainians and the pedophiles and the Hillary Clintons and the Nancy Pelosi's and all of that. I mean, it's just disgusting beyond belief. While the ICC judges have issued warrants, it'll be up to the international community to enforce them because the ICC has no police force of its own. While it's unclear what type of international cooperation would lead to Putin's arrest, Russia has made it clear it has no intention of cooperating, that it doesn't acknowledge the ICC jurisdiction or authority. And in this case, of course, it's particularly outrageous because this is totally political. I am disgusted.
Joe, you want to add to that?
Well, stepping back to Tucker. In his talk, he said, "We are going to continue showing these videos as long as we want." And he was stopped. And people thought he was going to be able to do it, which goes to point to the fact that he doesn't. And I think that's what people are a little bit and apprehensive about, is that he wasn't able to continue on as he said that he would.
Yeah, and it appears this is a violation of his even contract with Fox, which allows him, Tucker, to have the final say on the cut of his shows, that they can't interfere. But it appears they are interfering, and because it's so horrendous, it's just gutting that the Democrats and their hypocrisy and lies and fraud here. It is disgusting beyond words.
And Jim, this is where I have my concern. For this to have happened, there's something missing. What it is, I don't know. But it seems as though it is a atrophying of free speech. We all know that it is the atrophying of free speech. But how is it being done? Where are these hidden hands getting their power?
That's not a secret. The government's using the private companies as their agents. I mean, that's what's going on. They did it with Amazon and banning my books. Amazon didn't just decide to ban my books. They were directed by the government to do it. I mean, it would be stupid for Amazon to ban my books because Amazon would make a lot of money from my books. So, you know, the fact is that we have this abrogation of the freedom of speech and freedom of the press by the government using these private companies as their agents. That's the deal.
The government used their agent, and I'll say it, his name's Alex Jones, on you. And I'm in agreement, that whole thing was a hoax. They had to do it for gun control. That's what it was really about. And that's what they're doing right now. What do you think is going to go on with this gun control, Jim?
I don't think gun control is going anywhere. Americans are increasing. Every time they have one of these staged events, Americans go out and buy more guns. I mean, it's just, in my opinion, it's backfiring. But what they're doing it is to create a presumption in the official narrative, a presumption that it's all true, so that the government can take action based on the presumption, even though it's completely false, but claim it's justified by the shootings that the government itself has perpetrated. I mean, it's classic, you know, creating a problem so they can bring about a solution to the problem. That really is what they want in terms of creaming us, denying us of our rights under the Constitution.
What's your opinion here, Joe?
Just exactly what Jim is saying.
Okay, now I want to go another way. What's going on with all this crazy weather, Joe? You're pretty much on top of it.
It's just what Dane is saying. It is weather manipulation, and he gives thorough explanations, scientific explanations of how it's done.
And that's geoengineeringwatch.com or .org, whichever he goes by.
What I'm getting at on that previous statement, Jim, is this. I have a friend just recently had a stolen object returned to him by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. And this stolen object took place 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Well, this person thought, well, I'll be able to go down and get the pistol. It took 4 trips down to the evidence room to get that pistol out. 4 trips.
They wanted to keep the gun, it sounds like to me.
And this guy said, actually it was a woman, said that every time I went down there, they said, well, the detective didn't do this. So you'll have to contact him by phone and then see what can be done. So the detective tells her, yeah, go down again, I've taken care of it. And this happened 4 more times. 4 more. And so this ended it back door to the impediment of gun ownership, because I've had friends that just gave up. They quit. And this is what's going on, I think, with Tucker. Something is going on. We know that something is going on. But how are they doing it? Where is the money being passed? What's happening in the boiler room? And to get that publicity out to the general public, so the spotlight can be put on it. So that's where it comes up with Trump. And like you, Jim, are saying, this is absurd. There's no rationale. I once heard on this show about why Biden was elected president. And this guy, who was a real good investigative reporter, said, because the power establishment wants to have a dog king. What's that? What's a dog king? It's the same thing that I think it was Tiberius, or one of the Caesars, that married his horse. In other words, it is a way of flipping the tail at the power structure. In other words, the competition for power. It is to mock. It is to mock. And I think this is what they're doing. They're playing what I call dog king power play. And we don't see what's going on behind the scenes to accomplish this. But I think that's the only reasonable explanation I can think about. Why are they getting away with this with Trump? That's crazy. It's illogical. And I think they're doing it just to show we can get away with it.
Now, Jim, that's New York they're talking about arresting him, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I guess New York militia, and I know it exists, I guess county to county, state by state, you better get active if they arrest him and go arrest those that arrest him and order his arrest.
Yeah, well, appears this DA is a complete sleazeball. It's just embarrassing, just embarrassing.
Well, that's what the militia's for. It's when the government doesn't clean itself up, the people rise and take care of the problem and set an example.
There's a guy who calls himself second smartest guy in the world. He's got a nice piece about it. Here it is. J6 was a peaceful protest. FBI and CIA agents working as agents provocateur herded peaceful protesters into the Washington, D.C. Capitol. The Uniparty then unlawfully imprisoned innocent right-wing protesters for political leverage. In Trump's defense, despite the election being clearly stolen, he never once called for violence. Quite the opposite. Fast forward to today, disclosed TV just in. Trump posts he will be arrested on Tuesday and called for protests to take our nation back. I've already read you what he posted on his Social Truth website. Despite this Substack, now the second smartest guy, being critical of Mr. Operation Warp Speed and vehemently against all things slow kill, violence, and death facts, in the above all cap post, Trump is 100% correct. This country has been taken over by an illegitimate federal government domiciled in the foreign nation of Washington, D.C., that is serving the globalist agenda as such. This uniparty-run federal government and its unconstitutional agencies, FBI, CIA, NIH, FDA, EPA, and more, are actively waging a full-spectrum soft war against we the people. The Mockingbird mainstream is nothing more than an arm of this criminal federal government. Then they've been collaborating to not just invert reality, but poison the entire country. Even with the recent January 6th video footage releases, which expose the mainstream and the government as traitorous liars, they still continue to stand by their now absurdly mendacious claims. Trump is not in any meaningful way, not in any meaningful way, support the J6 Patriots who have been rotting in prison for years now. He's now under threat of a similar imprisonment, though his expensive lawyers will, of course, get him out in a matter of days, if not sooner. The concern here with Trump's call for protest is that the very same criminals running America will attempt to perpetrate a January 6 2.0. This is an incredibly serious developing situation. Total and complete nonviolent noncompliance is the way of only way out of this tyranny. Do not comply. Now, I don't think Trump had done anything wrong in relation to January 6th whatsoever. I mean, I've followed his speech. I've analyzed the whole thing again and again, and it was all completely a setup and contrived. And Pelosi and Schumer and McConnell and Mike Pence were all complicit. It is a stunning situation, and there's excellent analysis on my blog at jameshfetzer.org.
You know, if I'd been an aide to Trump, I sure in hell would have gave him some advice. I tried to give advice, but I guess the emails weren't going through. But he picked a lot of people. Pence was one of them that shouldn't have been picked, period. But we all make mistakes in hindsight. But what else?
You want to see more absurdities? Even the Wall Street Journal is calling out the Biden for blaming Trump for the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. Get this. The Wall Street Journal editorial board called out Biden for telling a host of whoppers regarding bank bailouts following the collapse of SVB, including claim that Trump was to blame. Following in the footsteps of Barack Obama, who famously blamed George W. Bush for every economic problem during his tenure, Biden, who's been in office for over 2 years, pointed the finger squarely at Trump. First, the president declared that his quick action had stabilized the banking industry following the collapse of multiple banks, adding that clients can breathe easier. Then he took aim at his predecessor. During the Obama-Biden administration, we put in place tough requirements on banks like Silicon Valley and the Signature, including the Dodd-Frank law, to make sure the crisis we saw in 2008 would not happen again. Unfortunately, the last administration pulled back some of those requirements. Here we have townhall.com tweeting, for example, those points. It should be noted the Road Bank and bank regulation was signed into law by then President Trump, and the legislation was passed with bipartisan support. It was designed to lift burdens unnecessarily put on small and medium-sized lenders. The Silicon Valley Bank represents the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history. The Wall Street Journal decided to analyze Biden's overall claims, and they weren't having any of it. The president offers assurances that markets don't believe, they wrote, noting that investors aren't buying what Biden is selling. The editorial board also addressed the accusations against Trump, as he so often does. The president also blamed the bank panic on the Trump administration, in this case, for modifying some 2010 Dodd-Frank Act rules, they lamented. But not even Marty Frank, the Dodd-Frank co-author, believes that Trump is to blame. The Wall Street Journal wasn't the only to strike back at Biden's blame game. E.J. Antoni, research fellow in regional economics with the Heritage Foundation, told Fox over the weekend that the Silicon Valley collapse had nothing to do with Trump or Dodd-Frank. Glenn Greenwald noted, if the bank regulation rollbacks were so devastating, Biden had 2 years of a slim majority of the Senate and control of the House to do something about it. Here's Greenwald tweeting, Biden has been president for more than 2 years. His appointees control all regulatory agencies until 2 months ago. Democrats control both houses of Congress. So whose fault is this week's collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank? Obviously, Trump's, probably Putin's too. Robert Reich tweeted, by the way, Trump deregulated banks like Silicon Valley, which failed Friday. These are disgusting people. Trump's campaign spokesman, Stephen Chung, also fired back at Biden. But I'd like that if the Wall Street Journal is taking the lead here.
Yeah. Oh, Joe, you got any comment on this?
Just what Jim has been saying. It is, this whole issue is absurdity. And I think it's just a power play to say, we can do what we want.
They're doing it.
And that's what the opposition is doing. My concern, my what I would like to see is a description of these individuals at the time that they make their plans down in the boiler room. Because that's exactly what they're doing. We're going to do this and this and this and this.
What do you think? Let me throw one more story into the pot for today. InfoWars often does good work. Here's an example. Western governments on the verge of introducing expiring money. The European Central Bank is considering using negative interest rates, a tool that erodes the value of your money as it introduces the digital euro, a central bank digital currency. This is according to Sarah Powerovic, the executive director of the Digital Euro Association think tank. Negative interests allow bureaucrats and central banks to choose the rate at which your money expires and punish those who save their money. For example, if they set a negative interest rate of -10%, you lose 10% of your money each year unless you spend it. The potential scope of these negative interest rate proposals is vast. The euro has around 341 million daily users and is the official currency of 20 Western countries. Governments and globalist institutions like the World Bank are big fans of expiring money because they see it as a monetary policy tool that can make money costly to hold and would thus pressure people to spend it quickly. And negative interest rates are just one of the ways the World Bank and central banks around the world hope to control how people spend. By programming their money. The ECB has previously proposed having spending limits on the digital euro. The Bank of England wants the power to decide what people spend their CBDCs on, and the World Bank wants to be able to ban certain users from access to cash. Just disgusting. I think if there's negative interest rate, nobody's going to put their money in a bank. Why would you be that stupid?
Now, let's go back to what... kind of the bigger picture that I'm aware of. And it was Silverado Savings, Neil Bush director, the president's son, the vice president's son, and the president's son, George Herbert Walker Bush, who was a partner with Leonard Melman that owned Silverado Savings, a subsidiary of MDC Holdings. MDC was created in 1972 with Daddy Bush's later to be CI counsel, Norman Brownstein, and Larry Mizell. And Brownstein became his counsel 3 years after graduating from Boulder University, law, both of them. One went into building apartments because Milman could get the apartments, $10,000 a year they were building of new Section 8 housing. Because I was the HUD whistleblower and a whistleblower on Silverado. And even Bill Black was a professor that closed them down. Now a professor at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, a professor of law and economics, he has been on my show. And he said that he was pushed out of government and arrest, and that was done about a year and a half ago. But here's what happened. This was all this drug money from Iran-Contra, which was MENA, Arkansas, Ollie North, the Clintons, both of them, Hillary and her husband, I call her Hildebeest, Billy Boy. And it was a Chinese connection with Patrick Wu, and it was Chinese intelligence with Lippo Group, and all the drug money laundering. And this was a huge operation they had going. And they were laundering nearly $12 trillion in drug money in 9 years through there. And they were paying all their Iran-Contra pilots with stock, penny stock, tied to the penny stock collapse, Meyer Blinder, largest penny stock in the world. But drug money was formed in a company called Blackstone, BlackRock, whichever it was, the first name. And Melman was pumping all this drug money into buying up shopping centers around the country for him and Bush, and remodeling them, fixing them up, renting them, etc. And so they were pumping this money into Pete Peterson, who was a Council of Foreign Relations Director. He still may be. But someone else took it over later, a guy named Fink, Larry Fink, F-I-N-K. He took it over. But Blackstone was created, or BlackRock, in 1988, or 1998, but it was back in the 1980s that they had set this up. And Brownstein, by the way, was always involved. He sets up all the corporations for him. Norman Brownstein. He was CI counsel to Daddy Bush, lead attorney when he was CIA director in 1975, after graduating in 72 from law and going to work for Milman. And he later goes back over. Heavy Iran counter players, drug dealers, prostitution, everything. And they formed BlackRock, Blackstone, in 1998, and it is now the largest financial institution in America. It owns the Federal Reserve and controls it, and it is the United States Treasury underneath Trump's last year. Became. They're so big. Now, the other side of a lot of this, the Meyer Lansky, that was the Milman partner to Leonard Milman, who was partner to Daddy Bush, were OSS, both of them. But Milman took over for Meyer Lansky. Well, Meyer Lansky had Power Financial, the largest bank in Canada, and they made a subsidiary, Milman did, after Meyer Lansky died and left Milman and Lucky Luciano of Italy all the assets. This was this Jewish-controlled mafia, and still is, and now controlled by Larry Mizell. Because, as Otis Johnson told me, he knew about the fallen angels. They call them aliens in the NSA, and said there's 200,000 of them registered with the government. Said that whatever occupied your ex-father-in-law, Stu, Leonard Milman, lived for thousands of years, and now it's occupying Larry Mizell. And he's going to take over all the control of Milman. There was $100 trillion that shifted when Milman died in 2004 to Larry Mizell's control, and it was done with attorney Norman Brownstein. Now, Mizell's huge. They own the U.S. Treasury. They own the Federal Reserve, BlackRock. It's a private corporation, and that Power Financial that Milman inherited from Meyer Lansky became Great West Life of Denver, that was involved in all the SNL failures all over Texas and every place else. Imperial Savings, all kinds of stuff went down because of them. They are HSBC Bank, a subsidiary of Great West Life of Denver. This is HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corp, is the largest bank in the world. And every month, because I get the little blurbs out of Google and Bing in different places, you know, alerting me that something's been published about HSBC Bank. Every month or every other month, they are being printed. Something's being printed negatively where some country is charging them with drug money laundering. This is the guy that controls the U.S. bank, Larry Mizell, U.S. Treasury. But they bankrupted this past year, and it took BlackRock and it took Vanguard down with them. And what they were doing is stealing everybody's equity since 2008 on their houses by going in claiming with these artificial mortgages that they own your house. And they're taking them right out from underneath you and stealing your equity because they own the mortgage companies that they would close on. And Vanguard and BlackRock would become the largest REITs, real estate investment trust, in the United States as far as independent housing is concerned. You want to add anything to that, Joe?
No.
Jim, do you have anything?
No, Steve, you covered it very thoroughly.
Okay, but it all comes back to one drop of drug money, $1 of drug money. Invest it. They can take everything away from you under U.S. laws. $1 of drug money. They could seize the U.S. Treasury back if someone would do their job.
I really appreciate having the opportunity to join you and Joel for these occasions. So thank you so much, my friend.
Well, I thank you.
Jim, because I want to leave this with you before you go. Last week was published that Hobbs, who is the new governor of Arizona, has been using drug money to launder through her real estate investments.
That's how she's getting paid.
Why does this not surprise me? She's a nobody. I mean, the question was, why in God's name did they have such a meaningless fraud, running for office. I thought it was ridiculous on its face. It's because she was totally, totally corrupt, and they have complete control over her. Oh, of course.
That's it.
That comes back to old good old Larry Mizell, Meyer Lansky, all that connection down there that created Arizona, basically. That's who controls. That guy's powerful. This mob this Jewish mob out of Denver, Colorado, is very, very powerful, folks.
Hang on to that, Stu, because I want to leave this because Jim's getting ready to go. This show, the enterprising young men, or young Mexican males. Young Mexican males in Tucson and Phoenix are going down and being hired to transport the getaways. On a daily basis, outside of Fort Huachuca, there are 100 to 130 mile an hour speed chases driven by 16 and 17 year old Mexican boys.
Oh, God.
The border is secure.
It's secure, all right. The whole country's secure. Hey, Jim, one quick question. Have you cleaned your guns recently?
Yep, locked and loaded, Stu.
Okay, buddy. I may be seeing you on my trip to Washington one day when all of us have to gather together to solve the problem, because it may come to that.
Give me a holler.
Okay, buddy. I'll let you go. Thank you for being on with me.
You got it. And Joel, too.
Yeah, and Joel, thank you.
See you guys later.
Okay, have a good one, both of you.